God is good. He has blessed us with yet another opportunity to be assembled in the house that is dedicated to his name. That we have come here for the worship, that we come to blow a kiss toward God and to say, and to thank God, saying, thank you for just how good you have been to all of us. The fact of the matter that we are here tonight means that we have been blessed by God. For those who perhaps are visiting among us, we count it a great joy to have you in our midst. And after service, we'd like to have the opportunity to get better acquainted, to know you just a little bit better. I want to get into the lesson for tonight. And if you'd meet with us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll pick up at verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11 was read in our hearing. And we will briefly review and go through a number of scriptures here. We have a single purpose tonight in terms of adoring the great God of heaven. And because he's been so good to us, to do those things that he has called for us to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11, the Bible says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Christ, wanted them to know that they have a responsibility. Number one, comfort yourselves. You know, we need to be about comforting one another in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There's not a one of us in here from the pew to the back seat or out there in the foyer where folk have not yet come in that does not need any kind of help. All of us need some kind of help somewhere in some way. And if you don't know that you need help, you might be the one that needs the help the most. And Paul says, comfort yourselves together. Brothers, sisters, listen, it ought to be a comforting thing when we come together. It ought to be a thing that builds us up. And that's what that word edify, and edify one another. And Paul says, I'm not complaining. I know you do this already. But just keep it in the forefront of our minds that we're to comfort one another and we're to edify. That word edify is the same word that we get the word edification from, edifice from. That's a building, and it means to build one another up, edify one another. Just to make sure that everybody got it, just turn around to the folk closest to you and say, edify one another. Edify. All right, you might wake somebody up. We have a tremendous responsibility to edify or to build the church of Jesus Christ. Build the church that Jesus has died for. And how do we build God's church? Number one, we cannot ever forget our prime objective in terms of as disciples of Jesus Christ. Our number one responsibility is to go out and to make other disciples. We can never forget that. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 17, it says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. We ought to be reminding members of the family of God that we don't see here. We ought to be reminding them through the week that they are to come to the house of God, that they're to come, that all things are ready. We ought to invite them and remind them to come to the feast, that they are coming to drink from the fountain that never runs dry, that we're going to be together on the Lord's day, and we're going to praise God, and we don't want to miss a single person that ought to be assembled in the house of God. Can the church say amen? Amen. We want everybody. Does anybody here tonight know anybody that's missing? Do you know anybody that's not here? Yes, we have a responsibility through the week to try to encourage others to be assembled. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and let's get verse number 24. And the brothers are doing a great study through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night. Brother Gary, Brother Jasper McElroy, and also I think one other brother is helping with the class also at this time. And it's a great study, great study. But one of the things in the book of Hebrews that just jumps off the page at you, it says, and let us consider who? Did you know that being a member of the family of God, a member of the church of Christ, is not a solo deal? Yeah. We got to remember, it's not about us as individuals. Let us consider one another. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Amen. We cannot be in the body of Christ and not have consideration for one another. That's what we've already seen in 1 Thessalonians, the edification principle, the comforting principle. We can't be in the body all by ourselves, isolated in our own little island and not concerned about other members of the family of God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but notice this, but exhorting. You know what that word exhorting means? That means encouraging who? One another. When? So much the more as you see the day approaching, the closer that we get to the Lord's day. Brother, I'm going to see you at worship. Sister, I'm going to see you at worship. Brother, we're going to praise God on the Lord's day. We're going to be in the house of God. He says, it'll be like a pep rally going all the way through the week. A pep rally. If y'all ever been to a pep rally, you know what a pep rally is. A pep rally. In a pep rally, everybody sit down front. I'm not picking on anybody. Listen, I know we get comfortable in our places. And I've told people who come to visit among us, if you come to visit, you need a chair, we'll write your name on the seat. I just be kidding, y'all. I'm not going to write anybody's name on the seat. But we are in this thing together. And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. I remember when I was in high school, boy, I'm telling you, pep rallies was something, you know. Yeah, it was something. Man, everybody got all riled up. Is it all right to get all riled up in the house of God? Rile people up to come to the house of God? Brother, listen, sister, listen. Let us consider one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, number one, that means that we ought to be here. And I know we're here tonight. But we know somebody that's missing. Amen. I've called some folks I was trying to get to come, and it's kind of like a little challenge because you hear their voice on the voicemail. I think that everybody got ID on their phone now. So, that's brother, I ain't gonna answer. It goes to the voicemail. And I leave messages like, well, if you're not going to return my call, just send me a text or something and let me know that you're getting the message so I won't have to keep calling you and I can call somebody else. That doesn't work either. It hadn't worked so far. But the point is that we have a responsibility to get enthusiastic about bringing other members into the fold, bringing members into the family of God. So here in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 17, these were folk that were already invited, that were a part of the family already. And you know what folk did? They started making excuses. And there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. Did you know that? And we don't want to try to go down and run down every excuse that people give, but we want to let them know that we're in the business of comforting one another, of edifying one another, building one another up in the most holy faith. In Luke chapter 14 and verse number 23, then there's that secondary component, which is not secondary in terms of priority, but we want to make sure that we come together first. And in verse number 23, Luke 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the byways, the hedges, compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. Compel them to come in. Is there room on your seat tonight for anybody else to sit? Raise your hand. Is there room? Is there room? Listen, brother. Listen, sister. Don't ever get content as long as there's room on the seat that we've come together and we've done our duty. We want to compel them to come in that God's house might be filled. Do y'all know who the chairman of the board is? Chairman of the board, that's a name that they used to give, a title they gave to Frank Sinatra. Y'all know who Frank Sinatra is?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to start singing any songs or playing any of that stuff, but I recently saw some information about Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, and that when he was giving a concert, that he would not go out. He wouldn't do it if they didn't have a sellout. Can you imagine that? He's like, no. When Frankie Baby comes, every seat must be filled. Frankie, they call him Frankie Baby, you know. But the point is that he's saying, if I'm coming, the house ought to be full. Does not God deserve more respect than Frank Sinatra? Yes. And folks paid hundreds of dollars to go and sit and hear Frank Sinatra, and the mission here is free, brother. Amen. There's a fountain free.
Amen.
It's open to every receptive heart.
Amen.
And we need to make sure that we don't grow complacent. We need to compel them to come in, that God's house
Amen.
Might be filled.
Amen.
Build up, edify members of the family of God. So through this week, our challenge is to contact other members, even the folks that are coming. Brother, come. Sister, come. Brothers, we need to be there. Sisters, we need to be there.
Amen.
And to contact as many as we can to make sure that they are meeting together in the house of God.
Amen.
And invite others that God's house might be filled.
Amen.
That's one of the responsibilities. The other thing that we have to do in the kingdom of Christ is to make sure that there are no divisions among us.
Amen.
Brother, we got to be together.
Amen.
Sister, we've got to be together. We've got to make sure that there's no schism. There's no division
Amen.
In the kingdom of Christ. I know that there's not a one of us in here, as I said, that does not need work. Folk talk to my wife. Folk give a lot of condolences to my wife. I say, they could be condoling my wife. It's like, we see what you got to put up with. Now, the proper response from my wife is going like, it ain't that bad, you know. But I hear her saying, now you feel my pain. I don't know how I'm acting. Maybe I'm acting in a way different than I ought to be acting. But look at this. In Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 12, Apostle Paul, and certainly I am aware that I am not where I need to be in this regard. Apostle Paul had the same concept. Philippians 3 and verse number 12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained or either already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Jesus. Paul says, I'm not perfect yet. But I'm trying to do the best that I can to be the man that God wants me to be. I'm trying to do the best that I can that God would have me as a sister to be. That's our role, our responsibility, to make sure that we do all that we can to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Word of God. That there be no schism, that there be no division in the kingdom of Christ. We are members one of another. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We're many members, but yet one body. And that means that we need to take care for every member of the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And some of those of us who are somewhat cantankerous and hardest to get along with, we are the ones that need the most kind of attention. This is an issue that has come up. A question came up in our Wednesday night Bible study, came up in our Thursday night Bible study, came up in a number of different, the conversation has come up, and people were asking, well, do I have to forgive members of the family of God? It's like, what? Do we not know that we got to get along in the kingdom of Christ?
Yes.
Have you ever been to somebody's house when they're not getting along? Husband and wife have a strain in the relationship. Have you gone over?
Yeah.
And they don't say anything that there's a strain going on, but is it something that you can pick up pretty quickly?
Yeah.
It's the same in the kingdom of Christ, brethren.
Amen.
If we have strained relationships among us, as members of the family of God, folk don't have to ask. It's something that is perceptible. And we don't want to have any schisms or divisions in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are members of one another. We're to comfort one another. We're to edify, build up one another in the most holy faith. Paul says, I have not yet attained, but I'm working on it. I'm continuing to work on it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. This is an opportunity for love.
Amen.
The Bible says, notice what it says. Peter says, above all things. Is that in the Bible still?
Right.
He says, have fervent, fervent love or charity among yourselves.
Amen.
Brother, listen. Sister, listen. In the kingdom of Christ, we've got to have fervent love for members of the family of God. And if we don't have fervent love for the members of the family of God, how would anybody coming in ever want to be a part of something where they don't have fervent love in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Brothers, we got to work on ourselves.
Amen.
Sisters, we got to work on ourselves.
Amen.
And the folk that we have trouble with or problems with, those are opportunities for us to grow our love.
Amen.
Did you see that? Edify one another. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Notice this. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Brother, sister, listen. When you love, when I love, when we love the way that we ought to love, we can overlook a few things in this life. That's absolutely our responsibility, to edify and to build up one another. It doesn't mean that we grow comfortable or endorse sin, but it does mean that we're willing to work with one another, that all of us might get there together. You remember when Moses was marching through the wilderness and his sister and his brother had a conspiracy against him and they wanted to be in the, you ain't the only one in charge. God done spoke by us too.
Yeah.
They had an ego problem. And God required them to be put outside the camp. And here, Moses' brother and his sister were in rebellion against him. And God had them put outside the camp. And the camp was scheduled to get up and move. And you know what Moses said? We're going to wait the whole time. They're going to wait the 7 days before this camp move. We're going to wait on that brother. We're going to wait on that sister until it's okay for them to come back into the camp and to move with us. Now, that's edification. That's overlooking a multitude of sins because we don't want one to be left behind. Verse number 9 in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, use, now write this down, underline it, because you might have to share this with somebody in the kingdom of Christ. It says, use hospitality to one another. Get this, without, you know we can't have grudges, you're not to grudge, not, don't have grudges in the kingdom of Christ. If we're going to edify the body of Christ, if we're going to bring members back, we got to get disaffected members, we got to find out what's going on. But listen, don't grudge against anybody. Don't hold on to grudges. If we hold on to grudges, the problem is not that other person. I'm the problem when we hold grudges. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. I'm talking about edifying, building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That means we have to resolve any contentions among us. Any contentions. When we're edifying the body of Christ, we got to resolve every contention among us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. And we give this to denominations. We use this for denominations. But Paul is talking to the church. He's trying to get us to lay down grudges, to grow together, to solicit a response, to build and edify. He says, now I beg you. That word beseech means beg. I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing.
Amen.
And that there be no divisions among you. This is not about denominations.
Right.
Denominations started in the church of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying to us, don't have any divisions among you.
Amen.
You don't like a brother or sister, you run and shake their hand first.
Amen.
I don't like a brother or sister, go you run and shake their, if they like to shake hands. Everybody don't like to shake hands.
Uh-huh.
But this is the point. He says, speak the same thing. If we're going to edify the body, we got to lay down any contentions.
Amen.
He says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Amen.
Man, where does the time go? I must be having fun or something.
Keep on.
I got, no, that's lesson 3 and 4. Matthew 5:23. I'm going to get a couple more. Okay, three more. All right, 3 more. Matthew 5:23. The Bible says, therefore, if thou, is it in the Bible?
Yes.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sure that the leadership don't want us to tell folk, don't worry about bringing your gift to the altar. We ought to give.
Amen.
Because we've been blessed.
Amen.
But here, we're finding that in the Gospel of Matthew, there's something that is a priority above our giving. He says, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, this is our brother, our sister that got something against us.
Right.
Do you know when somebody got something against you? Do you know when folk don't want to shake your hand?
Right.
Do we know that? Do we know what? If you remember that your brother or your sister has aught against thee, verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way.
Yeah.
First,
yeah.
Be reconciled to thy brother. Is that still in the Bible? Am I making it up? First, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. It is very important. Brother Barry and I ain't getting along. This is an illustration, y'all. An example. Although sometimes we don't see eye to eye. But before I make my offering, I need to go to my brother. I need to work. See, here it is. I'm remembered that he got something against me in this case.
Right.
And I go to him to reconcile the differences between us. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Reconciliation is important in the kingdom of Christ. There should never be any schisms, no divisions in the kingdom of Christ. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go tell him. It doesn't say go tell everybody else his fault. I had to take my glasses off to look up. Wait. What? Wait. Okay. So is that? Wait. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone? You, Lord have mercy. Sometimes, if we have a problem with a brother, I tell everybody else about my problem with Brother Barry before I say anything at all to Brother Barry. And that is contrary to the scripture. That's feeding schism. If we got a problem between us, let's handle it like we ought to handle it between us. If he hear thee, thou hast gained. And that's the intent. The intent is to gain my brother. That is what we're trying to do, brother. Reconcile relationships.
Amen.
We're ambassadors of the love of God.
Amen.
And if we're ambassadors of the love of God, we ought to be representing the love. All right, last scripture here, and then the invitation. Ephesians 4:32. Is it still in the Bible? Ephesians 4:32?
Yeah.
I like to check and make sure. It says, and be ye... Is that too much for God to ask us to be to one another? Be ye kind one to another. What? Tender-hearted?
Amen.
One to another. Forgiving one another. Even as God.
Thank you,
for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Lord, have mercy. We're to be kind to one another. We're to be tenderhearted toward one another. We're to be forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We had that question in Bible class this morning. I said, you know what? It's an amazing thing that I happen to be having that. So come, we'll talk about it more a little bit tonight. That question came up in Bible class. I promise you, those of who were in the Bible class, you know the question came up, and it came up last week, and it came up the week before that. Do we have to forgive folk in the church? I really, you know, it's something that could move you to tears, really, when you think that members of the church think that we can go be with God and we can't get along and forgive one another. There's something wrong with that, my brother. There's something wrong with that, my sister. We got to do some checks. We got to check the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus loved us so much that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he laid down his life even yet while in the future we were still in our sins to make a way, to predestinate a way that we could get out of our sins and come to God. Ain't God good? Ain't God good to us? We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Hebrew writer says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that... See, there's a whole nother lesson right there. He's a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him. We got to work on this thing. We got to diligently seek God in every avenue of our lives. We're to confess with our mouth what our heart believes. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Paul says to the church of Christ at Rome, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, we see after the first gospel sermon was preached, they repented and they were baptized. How many of them? Everybody that comes in the family of God comes the same way. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. So if the invitation is appropriate for you tonight to come to be a part of the family of God, why don't you do that tonight? If there are any who need to confess sin, request prayer, we also have that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free
tears for you.